might take him by craft and put him to death. And they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. And verse 9 together, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you and we thank you for this time, Lord, the preaching of the Word of God. I ask you, Lord, to give me clarity this morning. I pray, God, all distractions would be settled. I pray, God, every heart would be focused and in tune with your word this morning, Holy Spirit. I pray you'd have your perfect work done. Lord, I ask you to bless this service now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My notes tell me that there's a lot here. I'll just say there's a lot here that I want to say today, and I guess what I'm saying, it may go two parts. Once in a great while, I'll have a message that will spill over into our evening service. I don't know. If I hear the amens and everything like that, then I'll try to have you out by 1:30, 2 o'clock, all right? But no. I will watch the time. I know we are a little behind this morning, and I do have a lot I want to say, and if I don't get to all my points, and if I feel it necessary to spill over to this evening, I will do that. But the title of my message this morning is Extravagant Love. Extravagant Love. That word extravagant simply means extremely or excessively. Verses 1 and 2, I'm going to kind of walk through this passage that we read a while ago, but verses 1 and 2 show a hatred of men toward our Savior. These religious Jews were fed up with Jesus and his preaching, and they wanted Jesus dead, and they were willing to do whatever it takes to make this happen, to make this action happen. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus. They were frustrated. They were sick of the preaching. Verse 1 teaches us that they want to take him by craft. That word craft means a trick. They were going to be deceitful. They were trying to devise a plan to trap Jesus so that they can kill him. I was thinking, why are these men so angry? Why are these people so angry? Well, I find the reasons are simply, number one, they were under conviction. You know, Holy Spirit-filled preaching will bring one under conviction. The world doesn't want the truth. Even the religious crowd of the world, the religious crowd, so to speak, of the world, they don't want the truth. And the preaching that Jesus was preaching was exposing their hypocrisy. They claimed, another reason why I think they were angry, they claimed to be spiritual, godly men, and Jesus had proved them to be phonies. Jesus has made a fool of them in front of the common people, and they were not going to stand for that. So they were frustrated, and they said, let's go ahead and take him by craft. Let's try to trap him. Let's go ahead and kill him. They were angry because Jesus was hurting their business. You see, the religious leaders of this day controlled the commerce in the temple, at the temple. And they were the ones who approved in selling the sheep and selling other items for the sacrifices. And they charged a fee to sell the items, and the money changers set up their little booths there, if you will, along the temple, if you will, or outside the courts and so forth, and they collected a certain percentage. So they were making profits here, and Jesus was exposing them. And of course, when Jesus came in and he threw the sellers and the money changers out, we've heard about that. You can understand that these religious leaders now, they hated him for that, and they said, you know what, we're going to get rid of this man, Jesus. They hated him. There was no love here. You know, as we walk through this passage, we're going to see that money truly does matter, sometimes a little bit too much to people. You know, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, and obviously these people love money. There's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money that's the root of evil. We ought not get to a point where money controls us and controls our Christian walk. Often people will be fine when money is used for something they agree with, but if used for something they disagree with, better get out of the way. Money has a very powerful, strong move, if you will, on people. Now, we're going to see in this passage here, of course, verses 1 and 2 talks about the enemies of Christ, those that hated him. But we're going to see in this passage human nature at its best and human nature at its worst. You see, Jesus compares the hatred of his enemies against the religious Jews, if you will, his enemies here, if you will, against an unconditional love of one particular godly lady. That lady's name is Mary. We're going to see a picture of what extravagant love is, an excessive love, if you will, and how it ought to be portrayed by a Christian believer. This morning, as time allows, I'm going to give 3 points, but I'm going to take my time. I know the first point is rather lengthy, and again, I am watching my time, but this morning we're going to see, number one, the first point, we're going to see the demonstration of extravagant love. You know, let me just stop and say this. You cannot love Jesus too much. Let me just say that again. You cannot love Jesus too much. You know, when I think of that verse, for God so loved, he so loved the world. And when I think of the demonstration of his love to us, you know what? We can't love Jesus too much. You know what? There's nothing that we can go ahead and give Jesus. Our love just is not enough. In other words, we ought to go ahead and pour it on Jesus this morning. What I'm trying to get us to understand this morning is we need to pour our love out on Jesus. We need the church. We need Christians today to push away their pride and push away things in their life that go ahead and hinder their love for Jesus and hinder their walk with Jesus. We're going to see a lady here who demonstrated an extravagant love. We're going to see here in verse number 3 the setting of this demonstration. In verse number 3, in being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. We see the setting here. These events took place in a little town of Bethany, located on the southern slope of the Mount of Olives. It was it was not very far from Jerusalem, and it happens to be one of Jesus' favorite spots. As you study the life of Jesus and his earthly life here, it was one of his favorite locations in the Bible. You see, Bethany was a place that housed, if you will, that some of Jesus' dearest friends lived. That is Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Often you see Jesus visit their home. Often you'd see Jesus benefiting from their loving kindness and their hospitality. Remember, it was Lazarus that died, and when Jesus went ahead and saw him in the tomb, he had died, and he stinketh, the Bible says in John chapter 11. Jesus wept. It was Lazarus that he wept over. So Bethany was very special to Jesus. Some of his closest, dearest friends were there. This event in Bethany was held in the house, the Bible says, of Simon the leper. It appears that this man was healed of leprosy, and Jesus, by the Lord Jesus, and he throws a party, if you will. He throws a feast in honor of the Lord Jesus, thanking him for what he has done in his life. By the way, we ought to be thanking God for what he's done in our life. Boy, you ought to get up every morning and say, God, thank you for another day that I get to serve you. Thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. We've become very unthankful. Our society is a very unthankful society. You know, it's kind of, what can I get out of life? The truth is, we ought to be very thankful. We ought to be thankful to God. We ought to be thankful to God for our salvation and our family and our church and all that he's done for us. But here was a man. He wanted to show his thankfulness to Jesus. Simon the leper, he threw a party. He was thanking the Lord. He was overflowing with love and gratefulness to Jesus. We ought to want to thank the Lord as well. I praise the Lord for those people who recognize Jesus and all that he's gone ahead and done for them. I thank God for all that God has done for me. What God, you know, again, there's not enough love that we can go ahead and give God this morning. God has done so much for us, and Jesus is deserving of our praise and our love and adoration. John's account of this story here in John chapter 12, I'm sorry, in John chapter 12, you see the same account here. This event tells us that Martha was there. Not only Lazarus was there, but Martha was there serving. But it is Mary, this special lady, if you will, Mary, who performs this act of an extravagant love upon Jesus Christ. Jesus is surrounded, for the most part, by people who genuinely love him. You know, he's there at the house. He was, the Bible says he sat at meat. They were fellowshipping together. His disciples were there, the ones that, who served him and the ones who Jesus called, if you will. They were there. They were enjoying a fellowship time. They were enjoying a meal. They sat at meat, the Bible says. And then we see as Jesus was sitting there, the sacrifice of this demonstration. There was a lady by the name of Mary. She has an alabaster box, the Bible says. And in that alabaster box, it was filled with ointment. It was filled with spikenard, the Bible says. And the Bible says that that ointment, that spikenard, was very precious. The Bible says that she broke that box and she poured all the contents upon Jesus' head. And then she also poured, John teaches in his account, that she also poured some on his feet and started anointing him. This is an extravagant demonstration that a lady, a believer, one who saw Jesus and wanted to give all to Jesus, this is an extravagant act of love. This box of ointment, it was a little bottle. It was usually a flask or a little bottle, and within that flask was this spikenard, and spikenard is a red-tinted, I checked this out this week, a red-tinted ointment that is drawn from a plant that grows in India. It was very, very expensive. It was often used in the embalming process. Only the wealthy at this time, and probably even today, only the wealthy could afford to buy it. We are told in verse number 5 here, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. 300 pence at this time was an average wage of a worker. 300 pence in today's economy is about $20,000. It's a lot of money. You know, that's a very wealthy gift. She goes ahead and she breaks open that bottle. She pours the contents upon his head and she starts anointing him. She pours the contents upon his feet. You know, I got thinking, why would she go ahead and break that bottle when there's a little, you know, I'm sure there's a little cap there, a little cover there that she could pour it. But you know what? I got thinking about that a little bit. I wonder why she broke it. I wonder why she broke the head of that bottle and just started pouring. I kind of just got thinking, maybe she just wanted to make sure that every single drop got on Jesus. I'm talking about every single drop of this ointment. She didn't want to leave anything behind, but I got kind of thinking about that. Why would she want to go ahead and break it when she could just go ahead and screw the cap off and just start pouring? But I kind of got thinking maybe she just wanted to make sure she wanted to scoop that out and make sure every single drop of this expensive ointment got on Jesus. She pours it all on Jesus' feet. And she pours it on his head, and this is a definite big act of love, extravagant love. Let me ask you a question. Do we love the Lord Jesus enough to give him all? Do we love the Lord Jesus enough to go ahead and bestow upon him an act of taking something very precious and going ahead and pouring it upon him and giving it to him? Is our love for Christ that extravagant? You know what? It was to a lady here. It was to Mary. I got to thinking, why would Mary do this? What was she trying to say with this action? Was she trying to impress? Oftentimes today, you see the Pharisees, you know, the Pharisees of the day, you know what, they look spiritual, they maybe had the haircut, they maybe had the dress, maybe they had everything down. Sometimes if you're not careful, you'll find that kind of Christianity, you know what, look good on Sunday morning and so forth, but the rest of the week look like the world. But you know what, that wasn't the case with Mary. Mary wasn't trying to be impressive to the others around him. She was trying to prove her love for the Savior. She wanted to take the very best that she had. I kind of got thinking, was she saving this? Did she save all her life for this expensive bottle of ointment? Did she save all her life? And maybe it was going to be for her embalming one day, for her burial one day. But she was willing to take the very best. I don't know what else she had in her home. She lived with, I'm kind of guessing, maybe she lived with Mary and Lazarus and Martha, if you will. I don't think she was a very rich lady, but she went and took the very best that maybe she found in the cupboard in her bedroom or in the restroom there, whatever, and she wanted to go ahead and pour it upon Jesus. I was thinking about the love that she was proving to her Savior. Are you willing to go ahead and is your love that extravagant for Jesus Christ? I think maybe she was making a few statements by this single act of anointing of Christ. I think number one, she was making a statement about her commitment to him. You see, when she went ahead and she got that ointment, and she got that very expensive ointment, and again, if you just kind of go with me, you know, she broke the bottle. To me, I think she just wanted to make sure every single drop went upon Jesus, her Savior. But you know what? I think she was making a statement about her commitment to him. What a commitment. She broke that bottle, and there was no going back. There was no going back. Let me tell you something today. Boy, Christianity, it seems like once we jump in, you know, after a little bit of wave comes, after a little bit of trouble comes, after a little bit of woe comes, boy, we want to back out. We want to go ahead and turn away. We kind of have this attitude that when the first wave of despair, if you will, when the first wave of heartache comes upon our life, we kind of have a tendency, well, I've gone ahead and done that. You know what? I tried to serve the God with my whole heart, but it didn't work. Hey, you know, it might be that God put you through some things. Go ahead and teach you lesson. Hey, you may be going through sickness. You may be going through some poverty. You may be going through a job loss. But instead of going ahead and sit there belly aching about it, first of all, let me ask a question. Did you even acknowledge God about your problem? Did you even run to the very one who knows exactly what you need? Oftentimes we go ahead and say, God, this isn't fair. God, this just isn't fair. And our commitment, you know what? Go back to the time. I'm going to turn on this one here. Brother Ron, are you there? Amen. All right, just making sure. Amen, Brother Ron. Thank you, Brother Ron. Good sound, man. Amen. Boy, he's right on the money this morning. Amen. But oftentimes when that first wave of struggle comes, oftentimes when the valley comes, we kind of start maybe getting in a little bit of indecisive moments, saying, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. It just doesn't seem fair. And we're shaking our fists at God. And the very commitment that we once said, you know, remember the day when you got saved? Boy, what a burden was lifted. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Boy, and you know what? I don't know about you, but you were excited. I mean, I remember, boy, you know, I want to serve God. I want to do this. 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 But about the time you start growing, about the time you go start going down this path of the Christian life and some struggle comes. Whoa. I didn't quite plan on this. And then there's a moment of decision. And at first, you may go ahead and you do the right thing. You go to the preacher and say, preacher, I don't understand why this happened. You get a little bit of counsel. He prays with you. And you might go to a few other godly Christian people and so forth. And they give you some encouragement. You've learned to go to the Word of God. And that gives you encouragement. You get on your knees and you pray, oh God, you know the situation. You're getting strength and you made it through the battle. But somewhere along the way, another one came. Another sickness. Another illness. Maybe a death of a loved one, maybe a job, whatever the case may be, and you just, this just doesn't seem right, and so forth, and the devil starts putting a little more pressure on you, the world starts putting a little more pressure on you, and so forth, and you start saying, well, I don't know about this, God. You know, I don't know about this. This just doesn't seem right. And maybe you might go ahead and you might follow along the same path of some of the other battles you had. And by the way, if you go ahead and you have battle, your first, after you get saved, your first battle, your second battle, maybe your third battle, and however many battles you have, you know what? You keep on doing what you did to get through the first one. You know, so often, you know what, we get to, if we're not careful, listen to me, you know what, and by the way, you stay in this word every single day when the trials come, you're going to go ahead and make it through the Christian life. You'll go ahead and make it, but the truth of the matter is, you know, somewhere along the way, you'll let the world go ahead and rub on you a little bit. You'll let the devil's crowd go ahead and rub on you a little bit. You'll go ahead and say, what purpose is this waste? The devil's crowd will go ahead and say that, as we will see later on here. Oh, it's a waste for you to go ahead and do that, Mary. I can't believe you're pouring that expensive ointment on Jesus. And if you're not careful, the world's crowd will go ahead and wear on you and wear on you. And by the way, it's not always the world's crowd either. It's not always the world's crowd. You know, there'll be the religious crowd. There'll even be some saved crowd that'll go ahead and say, you don't want to go ahead and serve God in that fashion. You don't want to ride that bus. You don't want to teach that class. You don't want to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night. You know, you've got other things you want to do. You better be very, very careful of that crowd. And the truth of the matter is you start wearing down with the world's crowd or the devil's crowd or even some good people that kind of are not as focused as you are and if as you were, if you will, and you start going through the Christian life and you start facing battles. Let me just say this. The very first time you went through the battle, you keep on practicing what you did the first time because you'll make it. The second time that you go through the battle, you practice what you did the first time. The third time, and so forth, but don't you get to a point where you're discouraged and say, no, I'm done. You remain committed to Christ. You know what? I love watching, I love reading the story of Jesus from the very day he was born, right up until 33 years old, he went to that cross. You know what? All you see in Jesus Christ was he was committed. He never turned back. Yeah, he was subject to like passions as we are, but you know what? He didn't go ahead and fall to him. He was tempted upon the mountain. The devil tried to go ahead and destroy him, but you know what? He never fell to that temptation. Hey, let me tell you something. If there's so many lessons you can learn in the life of Christ, but you know what? Jesus, he remained committed. You know, I don't know if I'm going to preach it tonight or not, but there's a message on Paul I've been working with. You realize once Paul got saved, you know, I'm sure he had to have been discouraged at times in his own world. But you know, reading Paul, I got trying to see a point. Once he, after the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9, you know, I don't see that he says, you know, I'm done with this. You know, the battles that he went through, he went to prison and he was sitting there in prison and so forth. And then in Philippians chapter 3, he says, I press towards a mark. You know, I don't see Paul saying, you know, I'm done with this. You know what? I see Paul, once he got saved, he remained committed. And by the way, he went through battles. He went through trials. And you know what? He learned some things. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. As he went through problems and trials, hey, he remained committed. Here was a lady here. You know what? When she was anointing Jesus with that very expensive ointment, you know, I think she was making a statement about her commitment to him. She broke that bottle and there was no turning back. What we need today in our church, what we need today is Christians who say, hey, you know, I'm serving God with my whole heart and there's no turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And what's the song say? No turning back. No turning back. That's what we need today. We need some moms and dads who say, you know what? Yeah, the battles will come in the home. You may lose your job. You may not understand how you're going to feed your kids. You may not understand how you're going to clothe your kids. You may not understand some things in your life. But the truth of the matter is, we need some moms and dads who get on their knees and pray and remain committed to Jesus Christ. Because you know what? Not only will it help you, but it's going to help them little boys and girls in your home. They're going to go ahead and see that and say, and you know what? Your life of faith, mom and dad. And they see you going through some heartaches and say some illness, but they see a mama and daddy praying together. Oh God, I lost my job. Oh God, please provide. Oh God, fill our cupboards. Oh God, give us some clothes on our back and so forth. And you see a little Johnny and Susie and walking through the living room and they see you there weeping and they say that's going to speak volumes to them down the road. That's going to be that kind of prayer life, that kind of Christianity where the troubles come and the problems come. You know what? It's not a decision on Sunday morning what you're going to do. You're going to get up. 9:45, you're going to be in that place in a Sunday school class. At 10:45, you're going to be in that place in a Sunday morning service. At 6 o'clock, you're going to be in that place in a Sunday evening service. On 6:30 on a Wednesday evening, you're going to be in that place in a Wednesday evening prayer meeting. Hey, you're going to be on that bus route if you're a bus worker. You're going to be on that Sunday school class if you're a Sunday school teacher. Hey, you're going to be in that place. And you being faithful through the valley will speak volumes to that boy, that girl that God has given you to raise. Hey, you know what? Here's a lady. There's a lesson that we can learn from Mary so far this morning. She was committed. You know, she opened up that very expensive, you know, I don't know. You know, she took that bottle. I maybe went to her bedroom, maybe went to the restroom, pulled it out. Maybe she thought, boy, I saved many years for this. I don't know what was going through her mind. She goes ahead and she knew Jesus, her Savior, was out there eating with the people. She looks at that bottle. She walks out. The Bible says, being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, they sat at meat. There came a woman, Mary, having an alabaster box. There came a woman. She had that ointment in her hand. I don't know whether she was thinking, should I do this or not? But you know what? Whether she did have that thought or not, we know that she did it. We know that she went ahead and she took that bottle and she broke it. And she poured it on Jesus' feet. And she poured it on Jesus' feet, head and Jesus' feet. You know, I think she was making a statement about her commitment to Jesus Christ. You know, we need a revival of moms and dads and teenagers and children and church members who say, no turning back. You know, oftentimes if we're not careful, We'll let stuff get in the way of serving Jesus. We'll let things get in the way of serving Jesus. We'll let events, if you will, get in the way of serving Jesus. She made a statement about her commitment. She wasn't turning back. I think also, number two, she was making a statement of his value to her. You know, as I mentioned before, I wonder if she had saved to buy this bottle. I wonder how many years maybe she saved to buy this bottle. This wasn't a cheap bottle of perfume. 300, could have sold it for 300 pence. $20,000, around a $20,000 in today's economy gift to Jesus Christ. By the way, that's not too much. Maybe she was saving it for her burial. But you know what? She's making a statement of his value to her. You know, I see a gal, Mary, breaking that bottle, pouring the contents out on Jesus Christ. And I think as the Bible says that she knelt, she put down her hair and she washed his feet, the Bible teaches. She anointed his head. And I got thinking as she was pouring that contents down on Jesus' feet, she was saying, "You mean more to me than anything." She was pouring, "You mean more to me than anyone. I see her value." She was telling the whole room there how much Jesus meant to her. "You mean more to me than anything in the world. Nothing else mattered. No one else mattered at this point. No amount of money, no amount of things, no cars, no chariots in that day, no horses of that day, no riches, not enough money. Nothing meant more." At that point, she poured that bottle out and said, "You mean more than anything to me." And she was saying, "I love you, Jesus. That's an extravagant gift. That's an extravagant love." Hey, let me ask you a question. Does Jesus mean so much to you that you're willing to take something very precious and give it to him? Think about it. The stuff that you have, the stuff, by the way, that you can't take with you. You know, sometimes, but listen, you've heard me say this. I'm not against stuff. I'm not against having some nice things. I'm not against having a nice home. I'm not against having a nice car and all that. You know, I'm still praying for that 2009 Ford Mustang. Not the little matchbox either. Some of you have been very kind to me. You've given me the matchboxes. Amen. Say, "Hey, I got you a Mustang for you." "Well, thank you very much." And got two or three floating around my office. But the truth of the matter is, listen, I'm not against stuff. You know, God made prosperity. There's nothing wrong with being prosperous. You know, you read the story of Job. You know, you find the word prosperous like three or four different times from Genesis 37 to the end of the book of Genesis. God prospered Joseph in everything that he did. God's not against prosperity. But the truth of the matter is, prosperity becomes a problem when we allow it to get in the way of God. And you know what? Mary had, I think, probably the most precious thing that she had. Talk about the most precious material item that she had was that alabaster box of spikenard, which was worth 300 pence. And she was willing to go ahead and say, "You know what? I'm going to give it to Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and give every drop to Jesus. Because he deserves it." She was saying, "I love you." She was making a statement of his value to her. No amount of money got in the way. No, nothing got in the way. But she was saying, "Jesus, you're very special to me." Does he mean that much to you? Hey, mom and dad, does he mean that much to you? What is the focal point of your home? Hey, church member, does he mean that much to you? Are you willing to go ahead and give of your time about 3 or 4 or 5 hours a week to him in a church house? Are you willing to go ahead, Christian, study to show thyself approved unto God, study and read the Word of God, the precious Word of God? Are you willing to take 15 minutes or a half an hour or an hour? There's not 15 minutes is just a drop in the bucket of your time to God each and every day. It's just a drop in the bucket. I promise you, you Christians, some of you new Christians, you know what? You ought to start reading the Bible and start praying. You take yourself out 10 minutes a day. If that's where it has to be, you start at 10. Let me tell you something. When you open your heart, it won't be long before it's 20 minutes. It won't be long before it's a half hour. It won't be long before, oh man, I got to go to work, and you're there sometimes. Well, you know, you do have obligations, and Jesus wants you to fulfill your obligations. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Are you willing? Christian, are you willing to set aside your time for Jesus? Yeah, are you willing to go ahead and set some hours aside? Say, you know what? I want to be in the house of God. I need to be in a Sunday school class. I need to be in church Sunday morning. Not forsaking, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I need to be there when the church doors are open. I need to not just do it for me, but I need to do it for my family. I need to show faithfulness to my children. I need to show faithfulness to my husband or my spouse or my wife. I need to show faithfulness. Are you willing to go ahead and say, God, I'll give you my time? God, I'll give you my time. God, you know what? I'll start out with 15 minutes a day praying and walking with you. And if you start giving me more, if I start getting more time, I'll give you more time there. Hey, I'll start giving you a Wednesday night here. I'll start giving you a Sunday morning, a couple hours. I'll start giving you a Sunday night. Hey, God, you mean so much to me. And I'm willing to give you my time. You know what? Nothing got in the way of Mary giving her best. You know, number three, she was making a statement about her value to herself. By this act, she was demonstrating that she meant, that Jesus meant more to her than her own reputation. This particular act that she was demonstrating, let me just rephrase that. She was saying that, you know what, Jesus, you mean more to me than my reputation. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? You see, back in them days, a woman, when they let their hair down, okay, first of all, only prostitutes were seen in public with their hair down back in them days. At that moment, she didn't care what anyone thought there. I can just imagine, think about the Pharisaical attitude in the room. She goes ahead and she pours, you know, as it is, they were saying, oh, this is a waste. I can't believe you're doing this. And they probably had worse looking face than I did just then. I can't believe you. What purpose is this waste, the Bible says? This is a waste, pouring that expensive. We could have given it to the poor. You can already see the cloud of a bad attitude in there. But you know what? When she says, you know what, Jesus, you mean so much more. You mean more to me than anything. She let her hair down. And back in them days, it was a custom that only, or if you will, only prostitutes were seen in public with their hair down. She didn't care about her reputation at that point. She didn't care what people thought. She just wanted to express her extravagant love for God. Number two, she proved her love this way. Slaves only slaves washed the feet of others. When a person came to your home, you offered the water so they could wash their own feet. And if you had slaves, you had them wash the feet. Think about that. I mean, that's not the first job that I would say, you know, hey, come into my house and I'll wash your feet. You know, don't, you know, come on now. You know what I'm talking about. You know, the slaves did it. Mary took the place of a slave before Jesus and humbled herself. And she was willing to put aside her own reputation. Didn't matter what the critics said. You know, sometimes, let me just stop and say this. As a Christian, sometimes you have to stand alone. You know, the world will mock you. What we're doing right now is not very popular. You know, we're in church on a Sunday morning. You know, while the world is out there getting ready for their sports today and doing whatever the case may be and so forth. And again, I'm not against sports and all that. Don't go home, well, that preacher doesn't like sports. I love sports. But I'm dead sure I'm not going to let sports go ahead and determine whether I go to church or not. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? Sometimes, listen, it doesn't matter where you're on the job. It doesn't matter where you are. You got to sometimes stand alone. Remember a young man, when I was a youth pastor, young man, he went to youth conference every year, and boy, God was really working on this man's heart. Fine. Really, he was turning out to be a fine young man. I saw his growth, and he was coming, and he was called to preach at youth conference. He got up on the bus coming home from youth conference, and he says, to everybody. I had like 35 people on that bus. And he says, you know what? God called me to be a preacher this week. And it was his senior year. He had just graduated the June before. This was July. And remember, a couple weeks after youth conference, after the youth group meeting, he says, preacher, I need to talk to you. Pastor Weeks, I need to talk to you. I said, hey, what's up? And he says, you know, God called me to be a preacher. I said, yes, and I've been praying for you, and I've been trying to work on getting some things. You want to go to Howells Aronson and different things like that. And he says, you know, my parents, they want me to go to an Ivy League school. They want me to do this and do this, and, you know, they had their plans for him. And, you know, I could respect that, obviously, and I'm very careful. I don't want young people. He was 19 at this particular time, and I said, you know, sometimes you gotta stand by yourself. I told him what to do. I didn't tell him, you know, go home and say, bless God, I'm doing. No. I said, you know, you ought to go home and say, Mom and Dad, you know, I love you. I appreciate you. I thank you for all that you've done. You know, I gotta follow. You know, they didn't totally understand God's will and so forth. And you'll be misunderstood when you follow God's perfect will. You will be misunderstood. But you know, Mom and Dad, I got to do this. But at the end of the day, he wasn't able to. I saw him later on, a few years down the road. I ran into him. I said, hey, man, what's up? At this point, he didn't even get to an Ivy League school, and he was going into the military and all this. And he did say, you know, I remember our conversation back 2-3 years ago. I said, yeah. He said, you know, the truth of the matter is I am miserable. I said, you know, it's not too late to go ahead and do something about it. I said, you're 22 now. It's not too late to do something about it. He says, well, you know, God doesn't want me in this. He just kind of went through the whole spiel there. I said, God wants to use you, man. But the truth of the matter is at the end of the day, you know, he was not willing. Sometimes you have to stand by yourself, whether it be, especially against the world. You've got to stand against the world. The world, listen, the world will laugh you to scorn for being in church this morning. But does that mean you don't come to church? No, sometimes you got to say, you know, no, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. The world may go ahead and laugh you to scorn for reading your Bible. The world may go ahead and laugh you to scorn for wanting to follow God's will, teenager. The world will go ahead and laugh at you and so forth, but does that mean you don't follow God's will? No. No. Sometimes you got to go ahead and put what people think of you aside, and all the time you got to go ahead and put what people think of you aside and say, okay, God, where you lead me, I will follow. Now here is Mary. Mary says she was making a statement about her value to herself. She was willing to go ahead and put her hair down in a day when only prostitutions did that, to go ahead and sell their body and anoint Jesus' feet, irregardless of what the critics said or thought. She was willing to go ahead and make herself a slave and humble herself before Jesus and anoint his head and wash his feet, irregardless of what the world or what the crowd said. But I'm trying to say here this morning, church, you know what? There's going to come a time, there's going to come a point of a decision in your life and of a decision. Do you do right or do you do wrong? It's going to be that point. And what are you going to do? What are you going to decide? She was demonstrating how much Jesus meant more than her own reputation. She gave up her pride in order to serve him. She wanted to give everything that she had to Jesus. She was saying, I love you so much that I don't care what anyone thinks of my expression of what the world thinks. I'm going to go ahead and express my love to you, Jesus. I'm going to give you my best. Hey, doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what the devil says or what the devil tries to think of me or what the world says about me. Hey, Jesus, I love you and I'm going to give you my time. I'm going to give you the best of my time. I'm going to give you the best of the ointment. I'm going to give you, hey, you know what? There's no waste you pouring on Jesus this morning. You pour your life upon Jesus. That's not a waste, my friend. Some of you came in and you poured your life, if you will, for a few minutes in a Sunday school class. That's not a waste.
Hey, you know what? The world may say, you know what? That's a waste of time going to church on a Sunday morning. Hey, let me tell you something. It's no waste to be in the house of God this morning, hearing the most precious word of God, the unsearchable riches of Christ this morning. Hey, it is no waste. Sometimes we sort of determine, or we go, let me see here. I got ahead of myself. You know, we would go far. Listen, we'd go far in the Christian life if we would not concentrate on thinking what the world thinks of us. We'd go far. You know, if I go ahead and do this, then what are they going to think? Listen, it shouldn't matter. You know, to Mary, you know what? She didn't do a double take. She didn't go ahead and get ready to break that. No, she went ahead and did it anyways. You know, you go far if you don't concentrate on what the world thinks about your Christian walk. Sometimes we determine what kind of Christian we will be by the world's terms. Mary wasn't going to be that way. Sometimes if the world doesn't like our dress or our music or our vocabulary, then we kind of lean into their standards. I've seen it happen in churches. Well, you know, you just can't reach people with the old-fashioned preaching and the old-fashioned word of God and the old-fashioned music. You know, may I say this morning, my friend, we're not doing too bad this morning. Amen? We brought the little boys and girls to church this morning. We've got some moms and dads here this morning. We've seen God do a work this morning. Hey, you know what? The world can be reached by this kind of religion, by what we have to say this morning. Mary did not check which way the wind blows. Sometimes it's what people, we don't want to go against the grain, if you will. Hey, listen, Mary was making a statement about her value to herself. Number four. She was making a statement about the value of her possessions. You know, and I won't be long on this point, stuff didn't get in the way. Material stuff didn't get in the way. She made a statement, number five, about his worthiness to be worshipped and served. Why, you ask, did she do this? Well, number one, she was expressing her love. Number two, she was thankful. What was she thankful for? Jesus, the one who saved her. Her Redeemer. She was thankful to Jesus. He saved her soul. She was so filled with love that she wanted to go ahead and give her best to him. She was no doubt thankful that she raised her brother Lazarus from the dead. I think she was so overwhelmed with love that she was willing to give up all that she had in one act of selfless, extravagant love. And I think on top of that, I think she believed that Jesus was going to be going to a cross. I think she believed that he was going to be dying soon on a cross. I think she may have caught hold of the truth that the disciples may not quite have grabbed a hold of right yet, that Jesus was going to die on a cross. And as far as she knew, why did she do this? Maybe it was because she knew this might be the last time that she'd be able to serve him. You know, sometimes opportunities are missed. You know, God gives you an opportunity to go ahead and serve or do something. You know what? You ought to take it. That opportunity to witness, you ought to take it. How often, you know, I'll raise my hand, and probably all of us could. I should have witnessed to that one. Holy Spirit goes ahead and prompts you, say, talk to that person, talk to that man, talk to that lady, talk to that boy, talk to that teenager about the Lord. And, you know, whatever, we get in the way and don't have time. You know what, man, when the Holy Spirit prompts you to go ahead and serve, serve. He gives you an opportunity to witness, witness. He gives you an opportunity to serve him in the church or do something for him. Go ahead and you do it. The truth is, Mary was saying, Jesus, I love you. She wasn't letting anything get in the way of giving an extravagant love to Jesus Christ. You know, very few really love Jesus that way. Think about it. Very few really love Jesus with an extravagant love. We often have our own agenda. We have our own desires. We have our stuff. We have our comfort. And oftentimes all that kind of gets in the way, doesn't it? Very few will be willing to step up and sacrifice their pride possessions so that God would be honored. Unfortunately, you know, even I search my heart. I think all of us, if we were honest, we oftentimes fall short, don't we? We let things get in the way of stealing our time and different things, when the truth of the matter is, you know, God wants to spend time with you. You know, I wonder what he thinks. He looks down at me and says, Sean. I let him call me Sean. But Sean, you know what? You could have spent a little more time in prayer or Bible reading, but I wonder what he thinks. You know, oftentimes, listen. You know, a lot of it comes right down to schedule. Who's more important? What is more important? Oftentimes, we're not willing to go ahead and give up our pride and our things or our possessions or our time. We want to do this, we want to do this, but oftentimes we'll let things steal our time from God. Literally telling what really is more important. My friend, listen. What is more important than serving the very God that sent his son Jesus to die for you? Think about that. Oftentimes what we do is we forget that, don't we? You know, I challenge people, and I even have to challenge myself every single day. God, thank you for that my salvation. I go back to September 12th, 1996, where I sealed it. 1996, sitting in Evening College Chapel, and Dr. Jeff Owens gets up and preaches, "Are you going to hell?" from Howells Aronson College. I grew up in a Christian home. I heard it all. But the truth of the matter is, you know, I had doubt in different things, but let me tell you something, me and like 30 other men went forward in a chapel of about 400 people that Thursday evening, September 12th, 1996. I fell upon my face before God, said, God, I'm going to settle this thing. And you know what? Every single day I've got to, you know what? I've got to go ahead and remember that day. You know, it'd do us good to remember that day. It'd do us all good to think of the sacrifice that Jesus went through. I mean, it wasn't simple sacrifice, by the way. You know what? And what love we give to him is so minute compared to the love that he poured upon us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Talk about extravagant love. He sent his only son, Jesus, to die upon a cross. And if you were the only one in this world, he would have still died. Talk about extravagant love. Mary gave extravagantly. Are we totally committed to Christ in an extravagant love like she bestowed? By the way, that's his will for us. Romans chapter 12, I'll be through in just a moment. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, God says it's his will that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's his will for you. But are you willing? You willing to go ahead and separate yourself from the world and say, I'm not going to let the world's devices, I'm not going to let the world's thought, I'm not going to let the world's mockery, I'm not going to let the world get in the way of me giving God my love, my time, my treasure, my talents. Hey, listen, are we totally committed to Jesus in an extravagant love? Is Jesus more valuable to you than the things that you have in your possession? Are you willing to give up some things to express that kind of love? Is he worth more to you than your pride? You see, pride will say don't. Pride will say, yeah, no, you don't want to go to church. You don't want to do this. You don't want to serve God. You don't want to run a bus route. You know, that's not, you know, the flesh will tell you that. When I got up this morning, I knew the things I had to do, and before I get to here, I got to go to Wareham on a bus. You know, now listen, initially, my body said, no, you don't want to do that. But you know how often, listen to me, how often when you actually get into it, got in the driver's seat, going over to Wareham, I was thinking of the kids that I was going to be picking up. You know, I got to thinking, boy, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I was committed to my position and my job. I'm so glad that I got to be a part in bringing some little boys and girls to Jesus Christ, to church today. But is he worth more to you than your pride? Is he worth more to you than things stepping in the way, keeping you from an ultimate love that you could give him? I'm not saying this morning we don't love him. I think the very fact we're here this morning says, God, I love you. But how much more could we express our love? I'm asking you this morning, search your heart this morning. Search your heart this morning. Are you willing, so to speak, in the medicine cabinet, if you will, of your Christian life, in your little world, if you will, would you be willing to take that alabaster box like a Mary did? Maybe you look at it a couple times and say, what am I doing? I've been there. Go and break that bottle open. Maybe say, what did I just do? And in essence, pour it on Jesus. Are you willing to do that? That's a picture of excessive love, yeah. That's a picture of extravagant love, yeah. You know what? Listen, I can't give too much to God this morning, because he gave way more to me than I could ever give him. Way more. I can't picture sacrificing my only son to die for the world. Can't picture someone coming to my door and saying, hey, we've got to take your only son, Cody, and sacrifice him for the world. But God, because he loves you, said, I'll give it. Here's the lamb. He'll go through the beating. He'll shed every drop of blood for the whole world. Extravagant love. He didn't withhold anything. But sometimes, and I'm there, and I got to go ahead and watch it myself. Our own selfish desires will say, I don't have time. I can't do this. I don't want to, whatever the case may be. We'll go ahead and we'll let things or whatever keep us from giving him the love he so deserves. An extravagant love. Mary, of course, Jesus in this story was with the disciples. I know that according to Matthew. He was sitting at meat with them, fellowshipping, eating. Then the demonstration took place. There's a lady went and brought this alabaster box worth about 300 pence, $20,000 today. She broke it. She poured the contents on his head and on his feet, pushing herself all out of the way, her pride out of the way, her reputation out of the way. Saying, Jesus, I love you more than anything in the world. Extravagant love. When was the last time that you knelt before an altar, said, "My Jesus, I love you. I love thee. I know thou art mine." When was the last time that you did you acknowledge God this week in them three words? I love you. Boy, what a demonstration of extravagant love. Nothing limited her. I look at my life and her, I say, wow. Wow. Truth of the matter, she teaches us really how we should be. She teaches us about Christianity, being Christ-like. And nothing is more Christ-like than pushing everything and saying, "Here, God." Because God, you know what? He didn't withhold anything. He gave all. Extravagant love, our Heavenly Father. God, I thank you for what you taught me this week. God, I know that even I fall short. God, the very best I can, I tell you, man, I love you. God, I appreciate you. God, and I thank you so much for my family and for salvation and for the perfect word of God. I thank you, God, for everything that you've given. But God, you know, there's a lesson to be learned from this godly lady, Mary. See, in contrast, there were some wicked so-called religious men who hated him and wanted to kill you. But later on down the passage, there's a lady that depicts true Christianity and says, "God, with my whole heart, all that I have, all that is in me, I give to you because I love you." Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, maybe here today. Maybe you have never experienced the extravagant love of Jesus. That is him dying on the cross. That is him and only him dying on the cross and giving you eternal life. It's not a church. It's not a religion. It's only through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Maybe here today, and you've never even experienced that extravagant love. You don't know for sure if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven. But you say, "Preacher, you know what? I'd like to experience that kind of love. Boy, if God gave all for me, he sent his only son Jesus for me, and he's the only way that I can get to heaven. You know what? I want to experience that kind of love." Maybe you're here today, didn't talk a whole lot about it in the message this morning, but you've never experienced that extravagant love. Maybe here today you say, "Preacher, I'm going to raise my hand. I've never been saved, but today I want to be saved. Today I want to be a child of God. I want someone to show me from the word of God how I can be saved. Would you please pray for me? There is my hand." Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Do you know Jesus as Savior this morning? Are you his child? Okay, maybe here today you say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Matter of fact, I'm faithful. I'm here. I'm in my place. But you know what? God spoke to my heart this morning. God spoke to my heart this morning. Would you please pray with me about it? I won't call you by name. I won't embarrass you in any way, shape, or form, but that's me. Would you please pray with me?" There, that's it. Anybody else? That's it. Anybody else? Maybe it's been a while since you told Jesus, "I love you." Maybe it's been a while since you've really stepped up, if you will, in your love for God. Maybe there's some things withholding your love to God. I don't know what it is, but would you please pray with me? That's me. Anybody else? Anybody else? That's me. Would you please pray with me? Anybody? All right. Hands down. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this message. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd have your will and way in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. The music's going to go ahead and play. If you're here today, you need to make a decision. You've got to come forward. Maybe you just got to come forward, church, and just say, "Jesus, I love you. Maybe you have the very best you know how. You've been walking with him. You've been talking with him. You've been expressing your love in every way that you know, and you've been doing very well in that area. But maybe you're here today. You just need to come forward and say, you know what? Again, Jesus, I'm just going to let you know. I told you this morning, but I'm going to tell you again, I love you. Maybe that's how you got to respond today. Maybe you're here. You raised your hand a while ago. You need to move this morning. You need to come to talk to the Lord this morning at the altar. Won't you do that as the music plays? Won't you do that? That's okay. The music will play in just a moment. The music's going to play in just a moment. But if you need to move this morning, there you go. There you go. That's all right. Just go ahead and go with it, Brother Ron. That's all right. Maybe you're here this morning. Just as I am, without one plea. That's it. You raised your hand a while ago. Maybe there's some things in your life. Maybe there's, you just need to come forward and just express your love to Jesus this morning. That's okay. Won't you do that? That's it. People are coming. How long has it been?